Praise God. God is good all the time. Yeah. Can I invite us to stand as we declare the Word of God aloud together? And I thought it would be great to recite the team verse, which is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 16. Can we lift up your Bible, the Word of God, and declare it aloud together? Are we ready? We'll quote the title of the verse first, and then followed by the passage, okay? At a count of three. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, God, for your precious word, for it is your word, God, that we listen to. And when we obey, God, we will have life, God. So grant us, God, yes, the liberty and the freedom, Lord, to indeed, God, through the Holy Spirit, as we receive, God, of your word, we will obey. And as we work it through, God, we will truly, God, indeed, Lord, please you, God. So, Lord, honor the preaching of your word, that your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just before you are seated, we are going to read the Word of God aloud together. Are you ready? We'll be reading from the passage John chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. And a count of three together, 1, 2, and 3. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather these pieces that are left all over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Before you are seated, this is what I'd like you to do. Can you turn to your neighbor's back, front, side of you and say, for those, you know, that are really, really dressed or attired in red, you really look good. Or those in flowery attire, you look even better. Okay? Thank you very much for saying that I look good in my red shirt. Praise be to God. Amen. 新年快乐,万事如意. For those of you that are Teochew, 新年如意, God bless you. And I'd like to greet you with these greetings from Psalm. And this is a greeting I want to bless you with for a great Chinese New Year for those that are celebrating the Chinese New Year. For those of you that walks in the ways of the Lord and love His Word and meditate on it day and night, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither. And whatever you do, you shall prosper to the glory of His mighty name. Amen. God bless you. For the last couple of days, with so much going on, especially in our eating capacity that we are trying to take in, every night I've been eating like nonstop. And the title for this morning, Small is Big, doesn't mean that if you have a small tummy, that it will become big after the Chinese New Year. And less is small also doesn't mean that if you have less money now, that after Chinese New Year, you will have abundant, yeah? I know of this small boy very well. And this small boy, when he started to wear glasses, he was so shy of wearing glasses, and he never put it on. And one day, while he was in a class, he was in Form 2 yellow, and he was sitting beside this classmate of his that was rocking his chair to and fro, to and fro. They were sitting right behind the class, and he was tapping on the table. And this small boy just couldn't tahan, just couldn't stand this classmate of his. And this classmate of his was rickety rock, was tapping on the table for a good 2 minutes. And all of a sudden, this small boy, just don't know what happened to him, he just gave this classmate of his a big push. And the classmate went tumbling down with a great crash. Every eyes turned around and was looking at what was happening with the commotion. And of course, the teacher took notice. She stood up and she said, "What happened? What was the noise? And who are these people that created the noise?" And I sheepishly stood up together with my classmate. Sorry. And I was stuttering off away, trying to explain to my teacher why I did it. And I couldn't explain any further. And from that day onward, though I was a shy person, I even became shyer due to that experience. And what happened to that, I was a very quiet person, and I became even quieter. And on that particular day, I felt very small, and I felt even smaller. I wanted to look to a hole and to climb into the hole and never to come out. Later, I will tell you what will happen, what happened to this boy at the end of this message. John's account of this miracle tells us that Andrew found the boy with a small meal of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, which was brought to Jesus. And we should not miss the obvious lesson here. And from this passage, we have this account of Apostle John of one of Christ's most important miracles. It is interesting that this is the only miracle that is recorded in all 4 Gospels, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we know that if something is given once in the Bible, it is true and we should believe it. But when the Holy Spirit repeats itself, there must be a lesson of surpassing great value. And it is a miracle of the great multitude of people on a hillside near the Sea of Galilee. And in verse 10, Apostle John declares that there were 5,000 men who had gathered. And one scholar astutely remarked, "I think if you add a woman and one child with each man, it would be a reasonable estimate of the crowd, which would come to a grand total of 15,000 people. And these 15,000 people were going to experience an amazing gargantuan picnic time. In Mark chapter 6, verses 35 to 37, by this time it was very late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." People, I'd like you to think about this. 15,000 people, they were already so tired and hungry after a good half a day with Jesus, without food, and evening was setting in. It was already late in the day. And what makes the situation worse was that they were in a remote place. No restaurant or mama stalls within walking distance. And his disciples made a very logical and practical proposal. They say that, "Send them away and let them find food." And the proposal was not made with uncaring intent. The disciples had no food and no money to meet this huge demand. What else could they do? The most probable answer is that they could do absolutely nothing. And I love Jesus' answer. "You give them something to eat." And this is how it often works with his followers. And over again, he puts us in a position where we are helpless and he tests us, "Do something." And in our desperation, we will cry out to heaven. How? And Jesus replied, "I am glad that you ask." It is not that Jesus wants us to fail, but he wants us to know that without him, we cannot, and without us, he will not. This is a quote taken from St. Augustine of Hippo. Without him, we cannot. Without us, he will not. And our success totally depends upon him. Without him, we can do nothing. And in this account of this miracle, Andrew found this boy with a small meal that was for him, his own self, 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish, and it was brought to Jesus. And we should not miss this obvious lesson here. Where the Lord makes small things big. So don't ever look down on the small things. And just because something is small or seemingly insignificant doesn't mean that God can't use it. Let us consider 2 things pertaining to this great miracle. First of all, God sees small is big. We see in this account how 3 characters look differently at the predicament that they were in. And in verse 5, as we have read, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And Philip immediately begins to count the cost of what it takes to feed the huge crowd. And Philip looked at the cost. And in verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. And in the New King James Version, it stated 200 denarii. And 1 denarius represented a day's wage for the common laborer. And Philip came to the conclusion that even if they had more than 200 days' worth of wages, it still would not buy enough bread to feed all the people. And the second character here is Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And the Bible indicates that Andrew had been circulating around through the crowd, and at last he found a small boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish. And I can imagine Andrew looks at the huge crowd and spoke up aloud with frustration. He said, "Here is a small boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many of them here?" And he sees the great multitude and the impossibility to feed 15,000 hungry mouths. And I would like us also to spot the repeated words here. What do you think is the repeated word here? And I deliberately added a bracket just to indicate so that as to give you a hint, yeah? It is the word small. Small is repeated three times. And in Jesus' summation, small is good and small is big. And this account reminds us, which is a great miracle, that if Christ can take and use the small boy's five small barley loaves and two fish, a small lunch, but yet it was enough for the Lord to feed the multitude. Small, but enough. Small is big. And the Lord always used small things to achieve big goals. Remember Moses? God said, "Moses, what is that in your hand?" And Moses replied, "A staff." And God took Moses with his shepherd's staff, just a piece of wood, a stick out of the Midian hills, and used him to lead 3 million Israelites out of the slavery of Egypt. And Moses had a speech impediment. He was an unlikely candidate for the big task, but God gave him success. Small is big. And when God instructed prophet Samuel to go to the house of Jesse to anoint the future king of Israel, he screened through seven impressive men who would have promising potential to be the future king of Israel. But God placed his thumbs down on each one of them. And finally, Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest one," Jesse answered, "but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So when David, the shepherd boy, arrived and brought before Samuel, God placed his stamp of approval upon him to be the future king of Israel. And David was no match in comparison to his brothers in size and maturity, but he was God's choice. God made a shepherd boy into Israel's greatest king. Small is big. What about Jeremiah? We heard of it a couple of weeks ago, the weeping prophet. And upon hearing the call of God, Jeremiah hesitantly responded, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I am only a child." Jeremiah looked down upon himself as too small and insignificant to do the Lord's bidding, but he became a mighty prophet. Small is big. You have heard of this testimony? Last Christmas, our Myanmar church reached out to 17,000 plus people, and 6,000 plus of them gave their lives to the Lord. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Pastor Sarah A. started off as a small petite and a young 19-year-old. And in 6 years plus, from an initial 30 people or so in a small group, now to an average weekly church attendance of 961 as of the end of last year. To grow a church is actually a super task, a super Herculean effort. The lead pastor needs to be a, an expert in HR, human resource, needs to be great also in PR, a super public relation person, a PR person, and also needs to be great in preaching, a preacher, a pastor, a manager, a leader, and also a banker. And I believe you notice all the ending description of the R's. To lead a church is no joke. You need to be an expert in many of this. And the Lord delights in doing big things with that which is small and seemingly insignificant. I envision of the many so-called small people here, including myself, yeah? God is going to raise you up as a mighty army of Christian soldiers as we follow in obedience to His will, to His calling that He has for you. And in this account, Philip looked at the cost. Andrew looked at the crowd. But the small boy looked to the Christ, who took his measly meal, which was his lunch, and did something astounding with it. And as we look closely into this famous miracle, if we were not careful, we can miss the point. And in a paradoxical way, this miracle exposes a lack of faith and yet also encourages a life of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Secondly, pertaining to this great miracle, in God's economy, less is more. In verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And He did the same with the fish. Here, we often think of Jesus as a giver. You see that I highlighted the word took. But the Bible often shows that Jesus is a taker. And five times we found in the New Testament, Jesus took. And the word took is a fascinating word. And it is the Greek word lambano. And it's the exact same root word in Matthew 7, verse 8. Where everyone who asks receives. And the implication of the word took is that Jesus received the five loaves and two fish from the boy. And the thought here is that Jesus never took them forcefully, but rather He reached out and asked to take the lunch, and the boy willingly gave it to him. Everyone who asked received. A few days back, I was having difficulty in sleeping. I was having a bad toothache. I believe there was some kind of a nerve that affected my teeth, and I couldn't have a good rest for quite a number of nights. And I applied in seeking God in this manner. And I continue to persevere to ask God for His touch and for His healing. Everyone who asks, receive. And I kept asking God for His touch and for His healing, because I know that my teeth is okay. There's no rotting, or that the feeling did not come out, or things like that. And I persevered. And for the last two nights, I believe that God answered my prayer. I had great sound sleep for the last two evenings. Yeah, praise God for that. Here we see that the boy could have done three actions with his lunch. First, he could have kept it for himself. Secondly, he could have shared it with the people that is nearby to him, and only probably a handful will so-called feel a tiny little bit in their tummy. Finally, he could have given to Jesus, which is what exactly happened. And the word "took" conveys that this lunch was not arm-twisted from the small boy. He didn't make a great fuss when it was taken from him, but he freely, gladly, and willingly gave it to Jesus. And in this account, we see Jesus use this small boy, and his small lunch reminds us that if we will give him permission, he can and will use us. This small boy had nothing to offer to Jesus but 5 small loaves and 2 fish, and he willingly gave it when Jesus asked for it. And as a result, he experienced God's wonder through his life. In fact, notice how he experienced that less is more. In verse 9, we see the amount of a small boy's lunch, which consisted of 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. I deliberately emphasize the small meal again and again. Please understand that these 5 barley loaves were not commercial loaves of bread. One commentator calls these loaves biscuits. Someone else concluded that the small boy had 5 tin wafer. Maybe you are thinking of the wafer that we have for Holy Communion. That would be slightly bigger than that. His bread was made out of barley, and barley was thought to be the poorest of all grain, more fit for horses than for men. But I believe when the miracle happened, the barley tasted so much more tastier. And in addition to the 5 small pieces of bread, there were 2 small fish, sardines size, slightly bigger than ikan bilis. And the truth of the matter is that the meager portion of the food looks microscopic in comparison to the multitude of people. And if each person received only the tiniest crumb, there would not be enough to go around. So with the ratio of demand and supply, the stage is set for one of the Master's most magnificent miracles. And in verse 11, we are told Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. I want you to envisage here about Jesus' overly generous provision, his supply that goes beyond what we can fathom. And the phrase "as much as they wanted" shows that every person got as much as they could eat. Many of us, we know this Cantonese phrase, "sek bao me." Yeah? "Sek bao me" for here is an understatement. The people were completely filled to the maximum capacity. Just like the last couple of evenings, I ate and ate until I said, "Let's eat moderately for me, or else I may suffer when I go to sleep." Yeah. In other words, no one walked away hungry that day. And I could imagine that the people, when they walk away, they were rubbing their tummies and saying satisfyingly, "Wow, I have never eaten that much bread and fish in my entire life, and I just can't stuff in another bite." And the boy came with a lunch that was humanly insufficient, but when it got into the hands of Jesus, it became a lunch that was heavenly sufficient. It became not only enough, but more than enough in Jesus' hand. Jesus took a small boy's lunch and fed up to 15,000 people. All 15,000 experienced, and no one was excluded from encountering Jesus miraculous feeding. And only he could do that. Less is more. And as long as the boy's lunch remained in his hands, it would never be enough. But when it got into the hands of Jesus, it became more than enough. Less is more. We see not only Jesus' provision of a big lunch, but Jesus' bountiful leftovers. Once everyone is filled to capacity, we read in verse 13. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And in verse 14, the preceding verse, after the people saw the miraculous sign, they were scratching their head, I believed, in absolute amazement and concluded, surely this is the prophet who is to come into this world. Here is my question. What happened to the 12 baskets of leftovers? Even in the four Gospels, they did not say conclusively what happened with the 12 baskets of leftovers. There are three possibilities. One is that Jesus would have taken home with him and had enough to eat for many days, which is most unlikely. Two, Jesus could have given a basket each to his 12 disciples. A number of scholars think that that happened because there are 12 disciples, 12 baskets. Obviously, wouldn't you give one basket to each of the disciples? Third, he could have given the 12 baskets of leftovers to the small boy. To me, I believe that once the 12 baskets were gathered, Jesus handed them to the boy, just like the boy had handed Jesus his lunch. Why? Because in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, we read of an amazing principle concerning one's giving to God. Luke 6, 38. Can we read it aloud together at a count of three? One, two, three. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. In other words, if a person will give to God naturally, God will give back to him supernaturally. And I believe this giving is a giving by faith in trusting God. And I believe the same principle holds true in this account. The small boy, because he willingly gave his 5 small loaves and 2 fish to Jesus, he walked away with 12 baskets full of leftovers. Small is big. Remember, Philip looked at the cost and concluded that it was illogical. Andrew looked at the crowd and concluded that it was impossible. But the small boy looked to Christ, who took his measly lunch of 5 small loaves and 2 small fish and did something amazingly inevitable with it. And as long as it remained in the boy's hands, it would have never been done. But as soon as it was given into the hands of Jesus, it was a done deal. Less is more. If you will give Jesus your love, you will find more love than you know what to do with it. And if you will give Jesus your life, you will know what it means to living life to the fullest. I've come that you may have life, and have life to the abundant, to the fullest. If you give Jesus in small measure, he will give back to you in supreme measure. Of course, in context here, I believe Jesus' generous returns depends on the person's ability to handle it. And the big idea, the Lord makes small things big. So don't ever look down on the small things. And do you know how this principle holds true for you and for me today? There is no one too small, no one too untalented for the Lord to use to accomplish great tasks in His kingdom. And in fact, the Lord prefers the weak and not the strong, the humble and not the proud, the small and not the big, the less and not the more. Henry Blackaby said this: if you feel weak, limited, or ordinary, then you are the best material through which God can work. And the Bible is full of accounts of small and weak people who God used to do unbelievably great things. And a great passage to look is Hebrews chapter 11, where it has often been referred a roll call of God's heroes. And this listing of the great giants in the kingdom of God, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, begins with these words: those who through faith conquered kingdoms, whose weakness was turned to strength. Verse 34 of Hebrews 11. And to paraphrase this verse, those out of smallness were made big. Doing big things in the kingdom of God is not about my ability or your ability. It is really about my weakness, your weakness, our smallness. Hudson Taylor, founder of China Inland Mission and the modern missionary movement, once said, "When God sought me out and called me to do His work in China, He must have said, 'This man is weak enough, he will do.'" I'd like to share a story of Pastor Bill Wilson. His mother abandoned him on the street when he was a child of 12 years old. And he was left there by the roadside for 3 days. And a man by the name Dave Rudinis stopped to ask him if he was okay. An ordinary Christian whose own child was dying of leukemia in the hospital. And this man chose to stop and check out the kid that nobody wanted. And the man got him fed and then arranged for Bill to go to a Sunday school camp where he gave his life to Jesus. And this man who picked up Bill did not have to pray for what he needed to do. That is the call that God puts in front of him. I like the quote from Bill, and he said this: "Big doors open up on very small hinges." It is the little things that God put in front of us every day. And if we are astute enough to see it and do something about it, it puts something into motion in our lives. And often we want to wait for the big things. Bill has observed that all over the world, that it is the small things that we see and respond to that makes a difference. Today, the ministry, Metro World Child, is a Sunday school which Bill founded, reaches over 183,000 children every week around some parts of the world in missions. And the number will soon surpass 200,000. And all this was because an ordinary Christian saw a kid on the street that nobody wanted and decided to pick him up, fed him, sent him to a camp. His child was in the hospital dying. He had every reason to walk on without doing anything. Still, in the midst of his personal struggle, he chose to stop for the small boy. Bill Wilson, to the world you may be one person, but to one person you may be the world. I'd like to conclude the introduction story This small boy went through life, a very quiet life for many years. Then he went overseas for study. And he met Jesus. And over time, over the years, he grew bit by bit. And he came back. He found the love of his life. He married the love of his life. And he was working in the IT line for a number of years. And he was doing quite well. And God called him. And when you are having meals with your senior pastor, it ain't no free meal. When is your time? So my time is up. Not up on this earth, but up to come and join full time. And one day, this small boy who became a pastor, he was invited to pray a prayer of blessing and to dedicate the opening of an embassy because senior pastor at the time was away. And I remember vividly, it was a huge crowd and it was like a garden tea party and was in the right after lunchtime at about 2 to 3 o'clock. And they had external air cons outside. And when I was there, I was in my coat and I was really perspiring. And we waited for the prime minister of this nation to arrive. Many dignitaries came. Many ambassadors nearby too came. Many businessmen were there. And then the time came for the starting, for the whole ceremony of the opening of the embassy. And the host and the MC came out. And he said his salutation. And then he introduced. He says, I'd like to introduce to you the Minister of Religion of Malaysia to come out and to say a prayer of blessing and to dedicate this opening of the embassy. Everybody looked around. Who is this Minister of Religion of Malaysia? And by God's grace, I think it was me. So I shoved and moved and went in front. Everybody looked and they were surprised. It's a Chinese Minister of Religion of Malaysia. And I believe in time to come, it will come true. Amen. I'd like to give glory and honor to God. You know my background. To be where I am, I need really to be small and to say, God, I'm so caught up with my life running here and there, but this one life, I want to make it count. And how God really pours forth His favor and His goodwill, it is beyond my own expectation. This God is really good. Let me encourage you that one person can make a difference and see what God can do with small things. Perhaps you are here today, you have never known God and asked for His forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Won't you do that today? And if you do, He will forgive you and come into your life, and you will experience the meaning and the fullness of walking with Jesus at your side. You have heard of my story. For me to step out here and to bring forth the Word of God, it is not me. Many years ago, when I was commissioned as a pastor, my mother came and witness the commissioning. And we were in this hotel in Shah Alam. He was sitting in the middle of the hall. And I came out to give my testimony. And he looked very closely at the man that was standing there. He couldn't believe that it was his son. And she nearly fell over while sitting on her chair, because she knew me inside out. She knew how quiet, how shy, and because of my impediment, of my stuttering, I hid myself away from many, many people for many, many years. This God of mine is a God that loves you and that loves me. Today, if you do not know Jesus, and you like to say, "Jesus, I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior," you will then experience the life to the fullness. If you let Him, He will be the one that will change you to be more and more like Him. And I know that many of us, we are visiting here. You may be here because your Christian family, friends, or relatives, you know, cajole you to come for a Sunday morning celebration or service. You may not know Jesus, or you may be far away from Jesus. And today you are hearing the love of Jesus. And Jesus is waiting at the door, longingly looking for your return. And you have backslidden, He is saying to you, "Come back home, son. Come back home, daughter." So for those of you that like to receive Jesus for the first time, and for those of you that are backslidden, you would like to rededicate your lives back to Jesus, I like all of us with heads bowed. At a count of three, if you are the one that like to make the commitment, I'd like you to put up your hand and put it down again. God is not ashamed of you when you put up the hand. And as you are not ashamed of God, God says, "I will not be ashamed of you." Are you ready? Would you like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? At a count of three, I'd just like you to put up your right hand up very quickly and put it down again. One, Jesus loves you and loves you so much. And say that, "I have come that you may have life." Two, Jesus died for you. Because we can't die for our things that we have done wrong. We need our Savior to save us from those things that we have done wrong. And thirdly, the greatest love of Jesus. He died on our behalf. And He says that you are my friend. Not only my friend, but my best friend. Are you ready? At the count of three, I'd like you to put up your right hand up and put it down again quickly. One, two, and a three. Starting with the ground floor, you'd like to rededicate and say this for the first time. I'd like you to put up your right hand right up and put it down again. Any one of you? Thank you. Thank you. Can you put that hand up again? I think you put up that hand. Thank you. What about those in the gallery? Would you like to have this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity? Anyone? Put up your right hand and put it down again. Doing it for the first time, and as well as coming back to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I believe that some of you have put up your hand. I'd like to lead you in this prayer. It's a simple prayer. Sorry, thank you, please. Saying sorry to Jesus for the wrong things that we have done that pain Him and hurt Him. And asking for His apology, which is His forgiveness. and then to thank Him for dying on the cross, and He was buried, and on the third day He arose from the dead. And then to please invite Him into your life as Lord and Savior. You repeat after me. Church, can we do it together as an encouragement for our friends here? Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry that I've pained you and hurt you. Please accept my apology, which is your forgiveness. I want to thank you for loving me by dying on the cross, and that you were buried, and on the third day, you arose from the dead. And I invite you to please come into my life as my Lord and my Savior. And help me to live this one life in honor and pleasure to you. Amen. Later, when there's a call for those of us that need prayer, likewise.